Welcome, everyone, to the Great Gundam Project. I am Jackson. I'm John Bam.
You don't have to introduce us.
Fuck you. Okay, we're doing this again. Welcome to the fucking podcast, whatever. Hello.
There you go. It's episode 24.
It's episode 24. Forget
eat
about
a dick,
it.
Episode 24.
Yeah, no, eat shit. This is episode 24. Who cares? Is that better?
Yeah, I love it. I just got done recording Abnormal Mapping with our friend Six, so I am punchy. Jackson is fresh and good, so I'm sure that I'm going to ruin everything.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm the most fresh. This is the first time we've done one of these when we're, like, on different podcast cycles.
Yep.
Usually we've both come off Abnormal Mapping.
We only podcast with each other most of the time, so...
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have to, like, organize what time to get people together, and that's just a lot of work.
Jackson...
Yes.
Have you watched any anime?
A little bit. Not that much, but a little bit.
Talk to me.
I watched the first 5 episodes of Initial D. That's what I did on a whim.
Oh. Good. What do you do in the 90s, Jackson?
You drift. You drift, and then you, like, stand around on a mountain, and you observe someone's drifting. And Everyone else thinks someone, like, thinks the driver is stupid, but, like, the enlightened few can like, realize that he is actually a true natural at drifting.
Yeah.
It's good. It's fine. I don't know. There's nothing to say about it. The Eurobeat plays and the cars go. Like, it's great. You watch it, you switch your brain off, it's a good time.
Yes, no, that is exactly my opinion of Initial D. So I watched like the first like 3 series, seasons, whatever of it.
So the thing I know is like they're called stages, but some of them are movies. Like I think Second stage is a movie.
Yeah, some
of them. And third stage movies. Is a season. I don't fucking know. I don't care. I press play on the first one.
Yeah.
It's clearly the beginning. You don't know he's the genius driver, but then
he just delivers tofu.
Yep. His best friend makes fun of him for being so shit at knowing nothing about cars.
Yep, and his friend, though, is the shittest of them all.
Oh, I love his friend.
Yes, no, but he is clearly the little Pete of this story.
I mean, no, because little Pete exists to die.
Well, sure, this guy doesn't die, but he's otherwise identical to little Pete.
No, because he exists to be hoisted too much.
I don't know.
He gets owned by nature about 7 times in this episode because he's not the main character. He's like, oh, I'm so excited about this, but he can't actually do anything because he sucks. He's not, like, important. He just has to watch everyone else be cool and complain about it.
Fair enough.
But anyway, that's the Initial D hour. It is good when the 2 older guys sit smoking at night and talk about cars. That's my actual take. That was the best part.
Yeah.
Shocking.
The music's the best part, but...
Oh, yes, yes. Aside from the music.
Yes.
I downloaded some of the soundtracks just to have them around.
Yeah, I have literally hundreds of albums of Eurobeat on my computer.
Super Eurobeat collection.
Yes, I have like 56 through like 215 or so. And then I also have ones that are not Super Eurobeat.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
Yes.
That's so much Eurobeat. The songs aren't that different.
No, most of them are very much not different. But that doesn't mean I don't want all of it.
I understand. You just want to press play and hear the Eurobeat sometimes, yep. I guess. Anyway.
Can't listen to it while I'm driving. It is literally dangerous to my health and the health of others for me to listen to Eurobeat while I'm driving a car.
What is the death count of people listening to Eurobeat while driving?
I don't know. Probably way too high.
Oh, it probably is. Have you watched any anime? Have you done anything?
I watched about 2, maybe 3 episodes of Little Witch Academia, which I continue to pick at.
Oh, you're getting back to that.
I don't think I like it.
No, why?
So I thought it was just cool. If you've watched the show, please tell me. I talked to Six a little bit right after I finished Abnormal Mapping, and Six kind of agreed with my opinion on this. I don't think this is in the podcast. Maybe it is. I don't know. You'll hear it when the podcast is out, because I don't do any editing. That's not true, but I do very little. So that show is okay, and I like the characters, but it either needs to be a slice of life anime or it needs to find a plot, and it exists directly in the middle where it's infuriating.
So like they're not hanging out that much, but they're not like doing kill nonsense things.
So the whole thing is like the main girl goes to this magic school, and she's not really good at magic, but she wants to be very much like this mage or this witch that she met this one time, that like was banished from magic because she like did stage magic, and that's not what a real witch does, but she idolized her and she wants to be just like her, and she's gone missing. And so she's at the school and she's learning magic that she's not good at. And every time it's like, oh, you're not good at transformations. Go to your room and skip out on the dance and learn transformations. And then the like rich boy who is at the dance meets her because he ditches the dance. And then they have a moment and she's bad at transformation and they get bunny ears and it's dumb. And then maybe the teacher is actually the witch that has been in hiding for years, but it's hard to tell. And every episode is just like this kind of plot over and over again, where it's like, I need to be just like this famous witch, but also maybe that famous witch is at my school, but I don't know, will be revealed at the end of the season. And it's just like a shonen anime but for girls, and I guess that's just what like shoujo anime is, and I haven't watched enough of it, but it's boring. I need more plot, or I need more slice of life, but existing in the middle where it teases a bunch of plot and then never pulls the trigger, I can't handle this.
I feel like what you're actually describing is just like a Western cartoon.
Yeah, it feels very much like that too.
Like something where, oh, the plot's the same every week, but there's this vague hanger, like, yes, plot of like, oh, maybe this teacher will be revealed to be this person. Like, that is the most just fucking cartoon plot I've ever heard. Yes,
no, it doesn't surprise me that Netflix picked this up for like localization distribution in America, because you don't have to be an anime person to watch this show. It's just a goddamn cartoon. But I need more than this. I need like some lore, or I need it to just drop all this teasing about the wider world and just be like witches at a school. Like, I just need Kiki's Delivery Service, but in a school. If you can give me that, that'd be great. If you could just give me all the lore and make it like ridiculous, that would be fine too. I'd like that probably less, but I'd take it right now. Please tell me this changes, because I don't want to watch this anymore if it doesn't. Please just send me a message. Six kind of agreed with my assessment of this, so maybe it's just this show and I need to find a new show to watch.
I mean, that lines up with everything I've heard about it. Like, I know it's like getting a game, and people like the lore and the plot and stuff, but people also find the characters cute. So it like clearly is trying to ride that line between like shonen anime and shoujo anime.
Yeah, there's nothing like disagreeable about it. It's just not to my storytelling sensibilities, especially right now where I'm like trying to find anime that I can watch and enjoy and then come and talk about. And this show just, it's too thin, but not in like the way where I feel like nourished spiritually like I do by like a good slice of life, where I'm like, oh, I'm hanging out with my good friends and like I feel better having had this calm, quiet episode to watch. No, instead it's like wacky hijinks and then nothing happens because it's still one of those.
Yeah, well, that's a shame. I plan on watching it at some point. It does look cute.
My reaction to all of this is, it's a miracle that Mobile Suit Gundam is as Saturday morning cartoon as it is and still manages to have so much plot and be awesome.
Yeah, Mobile Suit Gundam is of a different time.
Other shows need to aspire to be as good as Gundam. I think that's kind of where I plant my flag, which is a ridiculous thing to say. It's like, oh, please make all television The Wire or something. But
no, because what it actually is saying is that please make all anime Gundam, which they did, and it sucks.
Yeah, no, I guess that's true.
They fucking did that. If you would like to partake of the last 40 years of anime.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's the anime we've watched.
Yeah, I don't have Crunchyroll right now, so if you have a recommendation for a good anime that like I would like that isn't Devilman Crybaby, that's what that's called, right? Or yes, Little Witch Academia, or not Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, because that's too long, that's on Netflix, because that's all I've got right now, please let me know. I do want to watch Full Metal Alchemist at some point, but right now is not that time. I have too much going on.
Yes, no. I am also like, oh, I want to kind of want to watch Full Metal Alchemist one day, but I don't know when I will ever get to that.
Yep. So that's my anime takes. Please offer me some suggestions in the comments, or, you know, you can hit me up on Twitter. You know that if you don't know my handle, I'm not going to tell you. Fuck off. You pay for this. You should know where I am.
Yes, come to the Discord and yell about anime, but not on the anime channel, because you've got it muted.
I go in there more often than I used to.
Okay, yes. I thought you still had the anime channel muted.
It is muted because I don't want to look at it, but if I'm bored, I'll go in there. Because when I'm bored, I don't check Twitter anymore, I check the Discord.
That's fair, because we are both very often bored.
Yes. So I'm in there almost all the time.
Well, there you go. But no, that's the anime summary, I guess. It's time to talk about the Gundam. It's not the same. It's just not the same.
I like both of these sounds a lot. Actually,
they're fine. They're not bad sounds. But it's
if you want to actually edit the sound for the middle part to make it sound right because you're using weird stingers, it's just the first half of that sound repeated. I mean, you've watched the Blu-rays. You know what it sounds like now.
I feel like it's the first half of the sound, but like there's an echo off to the end that I can't get from the MP3 that I have.
Yeah. I think it's weird that the other part is on there because that might be from ZZ for all we know, unless you know something I don't.
It's from the Zeta soundtrack, so I assume it's the second stinger.
Oh, okay. I guess we'll just keep it then and then won't change it at all. It's fine. It's fine. It just sounds weird. Yeah, all this can stay in the podcast.
What? No.
I like it. I think you should keep all this.
Okay. Well, maybe, whatever.
Because you saying it's not the same and then us now talking about these MP3s, I think it's good content. This is a Patreon podcast.
This is strong content. This is what people come here for.
I don't know.
All right.
If Jackson keeps this in and you hear this and you thought the conversation was good, let us know in the comments below.
Okay.
Please like, comment, and subscribe. You can't do that on Patreon. You're already subscribed. You can like these. I don't care if you do or not. Or you can comment them. Okay, fine. Sorry. Like I said, I came off of a podcast. What do you want from me?
Oh my god, you weren't kidding. Okay, we'll rein it in. We'll do this. We can get through this. I believe in us.
Oh, wait. Right before what? You talk. Point of clarification. From now on, Green Noah 2, I'm just going to call Grips because the show has started calling it Grips. That's what Green Noah 2 is. It's where the Titans are.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What was the episode this week? Episode 5. I call them something. I don't have the name here. You've put it in the summary.
It is called Father and Son.
I remember now. Yes, it is. It sure is. Tell me, what happens in episode 5, Father and Son?
Basque and Jamaican talk about how good the Rick Diaz is, and Jamaica suggests that maybe using perfect fascist children from Earth is a bad way to wage war against hardened, skillful spacenoids. Basque heads back to Grips and leaves Jamaica to pursue the Argama and find the base. But also, if he sees fit to attack Granada to purge AUG sympathizers from the EDF forces, that might be a good idea too. In the hangar, Franklin is being a sweaty cop all over the mechanics, and when one of them gives him a laser welder so he can show them how it's done, he immediately threatens to kill them all with it and steals Quattro's red Rick Diaz. He even pushes the lead mechanic, Astonage, out into space. Franklin sucks. I will note, Astonage is maybe the coolest Gundam name we have come across so far.
Yeah, but he's dead now.
No, he's not, because he's in the next episode. They pick him up. Okay. He drifts off. Right, he's good. Like, please get me, and they get him.
Okay, because they don't show him
in the next episode, he's the one who's talking to Camille about the plans for the Zeta Gundam.
Oh, okay. Yes. I didn't know. Right. On board. Glad he didn't die. He was fun.
Yep. Any comments on these first two things?
The part you missed, which I guess I'll talk about at the end. But these first two things, it reminded me of the original show in terms of like, Franklin shows up and you're like, oh, my brain goes because I am used to modern television. Oh, in about 5 episodes, Franklin will do something stupid. Literally cut to credits next scene.
Yeah, no, he immediately does something stupid. Franklin sucks.
Yeah, it is very much like the time that girl from Ireland snuck onto the white base. And I'm like, oh, something bad's going to happen to her at some point in the future. Like 5 seconds later, dies.
Yeah. In the lounge, everyone learns of this new way that Franklin sucks. As Roberto and Apolly launch their own Rick Diaz's, as Quattro blows past apologetic Camille, trying to get into the robot, he effortlessly pushes off the roof and slides into the Gundam and takes off. It's very cool. Being escorted back to his room, Camille gives the slip to Rekua and heads to the other Gundam and takes one, even though the arm is missing. While all this is happening, Blex and Henkin have a conversation about the Red Comet, and Henkin remembers the Ziong at Albao-Ku. And look, there's a lot of talk of Char going on, almost as if he's in this show already.
Almost as if. Yeah. The part you left out was that this episode literally begins with Char giving a fucking Char-ass monologue about how this body is like... this old soul has left this body behind.
Oh, right, yes.
And I'm like, oh, it's fucking... I would have seen the second this started happening, right?
A couple notes. They painted the Gundam colors now. It's now a Gundam. Welcome to the Gundam.
Yes, they did. I was like, wait, hang on, is that a new... Oh, they just painted it. Okay. Yep.
It's white now. Like, we don't want to keep it Titan colors, do we? And they're like, I guess not. It's called Gundam right on the box.
I've seen the Gundam on the box of the thing, and it looks like a fucking Gundam. And then I wondered how the black one came in, because there is also a black Gundam on the box, but it is not this Gundam.
No, that's a future Gundam. Also, the Zeta Gundam isn't built yet. We'll get to that next episode.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah, the Gundam that is in the opening credits doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. So...
Also, Blex and everybody just let Camille take this one-armed Gundam. And once again, we talk about this at the end of Mobile Suit Gundam. Disassembled Gundam are cool. Just give me a Gundam that's like missing an arm or a leg or something. It's my favorite thing in the world.
The Gundam continues to not have an arm for the entirety of the next two episodes.
Yes.
Like, the Gundam does not have an arm on, like, this week. It's
great.
They're
trying to put the arm on. Camille just keeps taking the Gundam while they're doing so.
They shouldn't have taken the boy who, with literally any provocation, will get in the robot.
You know, I like that Quattro just like launches off the ceiling to get in the Gundam. He like floats up 20 feet and then pushes off to get past Camille, going like, oh, I could shoot my father, don't worry about it, I totally could do this, to get in the Gundam.
He's like, leave this boy.
Meanwhile, a bunch of Hi-Zex launch from the Alexandria. Just as Quattro catches up to Franklin, who sucks at being a pilot, the Hi-Zex reach a scuffle. Our good friend Jared fires on both suits, which Quattro could easily dodge if he wasn't trying to restrain Franklin, and thus the shiny new Gundam gets one of its legs blown clean off. The battle rages as battles do, as the two ships exchange volleys, and we're left with Camille finally making it out to be the one to stop Franklin as everyone else is busy fighting. But when he gets there, he finds he can't fire on his father. Franklin, of course, has no such hang-ups and immediately fires on Camille. As he's doing so, one of the shots from the rest of the battle hits him and the Rick Diaz is destroyed. Franklin tries to escape to reach Camille through space, but the explosion is too large and he is flung out into deep space. Rip Franklin, you sorry bastard. In the wind-down, Jamaica's put in charge of everything, and Basque Ohm mentions that the Ayuga base probably isn't actually in Granada, so I don't know exactly why the show reversed course on this in a single episode. I literally don't know. My notes here say I don't know why this is a plot point. Camille is sad in the lounge, and Emma, Quattro, and Requa all try to cheer him up. Quattro stands up and gives a big speech about how Char Aznable, a man Camille admires, was in a very similar situation to Camille in losing everything and finding a purpose. Camille doesn't want to have a purpose forged by tragedy. He's just a boy, and he runs out crying. For once, who can blame him? The end.
Yeah, no, he fucking sings that My Chemical Romance song and runs away.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Jackson.
That's because his father tells him, you know, you got it, whatever. Anyway. yeah, it's a good episode. I think there's like a line in this towards the end when he's like, are you saying I can't talk about my dead parents?
Yes. Which is hilarious. Quattro's like, you should just maybe get over this and be a pilot for us now. And he's like, my parents are dead. Like, I watched them both die on like successive days. I've had a rough time of this. I was just a kid going to school like 4 days ago. And Quattro stands up and is like, have you heard of a man called Char Aznable? And Camille's like, I admire him very much. He's like, let me tell you, if this man were here right now, he would tell you that this is exactly what you need to become the best warrior you can be. He was like, I'm a boy, I don't want to be a warrior. And then he like trips over Emma trying to get out of the couch, and it's very good.
Yeah. He's just a man. He's not a hero.
And then Requa, who of course clearly knows who it is like, why do you keep doing this, Quattro? Apparently he drops just Char Aznable things all the time. And he's like, I guess I do have a bad habit of name dropping the famous people.
No. He says, regular guys like me do this all the time. He like puts on his fucking mustache and glasses. And is like,
the whole time he's wearing these sunglasses, but because it's like a dark scene and they want you to like have him emote, you can clearly see his eyes through his sunglasses. So it just seems like the biggest asshole affectation possible.
So the last couple episodes and like me not figuring out the Char thing has been mostly because like, one, fake Char's whatever. Like, yes. I could buy there being a character that just looks exactly like Char. Two, all Quattro has really done so far has just been fairly reasonable.
Yes, suddenly, until this episode.
Suddenly, instantly, he like goes, I know how to help with like someone's trauma. I'm just going to give them a fucking monologue about how cool I am. And I'm like, there he is. There's the boy.
Yeah.
So the characters have been reconciled as one. Everything is fine. We can continue on from here.
So I have a question that is in my, it's not in my notes, but I thought about it watching this. So I think it is Requa, it's Quattro, and it's definitely Lila in Lila in next episode. They all wear short sleeve like vests, but also everyone has like a turtleneck and a coat. Is it cold in space or not? And why are these people dressed like this?
The '80s.
I was alive during some of the '80s. Vests were not this big. Please chill.
They are in Gundam.
God, everyone's just sleeveless, and I don't understand. Is it like a space noid thing? Are you allergic to sleeves when you grow up in space?
I just think that this, like, the design of this series, both visually and also just in everyone's fucking names, is so much more extra than the original Gundam.
Yes, no, that is for sure.
Like, everyone's standing in a room and it's like Blex is talking to Quattro, and I'm like, I remember when Kai, Ryu, and Amuro had a, you know, Frau Bo, they were all talking, and I'm like, oh, well, Blex talks to Quattro about Lila Mila Rira, and I'm like...
Jackson, you just said Frau Bo, like, that's like an actual name that people could, like, identify with, so...
Compared to fucking every single person's name in Gundam it is, in Zeta Gundam it is.
Yes. Blex is funny to me, and my partner pointed out exactly why, because it was the exact same thing I was thinking of. It sounds like the onomatopoeia that, like, an old-timey 30s things made for someone who, like, tripped and went, like, Blex, and that's, like, his, like, nickname now.
You're not wrong. Yes. You're not wrong about that. But, no, this episode was really good. I like Camille a lot. Weirdly, so this episode one endeared me to Camille a lot, but like through reverse, you know, just comparisons, re-endeared me more to Amuro. and the next one does as well, because Camille is just all on all the time. He is a very different kind of trauma boy, and Amuro is just like kind of quietly sad. I'm gonna get in the robot, I guess.
Yes.
But no, it's a good episode. I am glad that the Shah thing is now fully out in the open, because fucking Quattro in this episode.
Oh, don't worry. They won't actually tip their hand for another like 10 episodes, I think. So
yeah, well, sure. But it is in the open for as much as like, you know, how you're meant to read the character.
Yes, no.
How it informs.
But they don't tell Camille in my memory for a ridiculously long time.
Camille doesn't know shit.
Yeah, no, that's for sure.
Camille's an idiot. Bless him. But yeah, that's kind of the text in this episode. Camille's dad sucks.
Yeah, no. Let's just hit the music. Let's get to the next episode. Fuck Franklin.
Fuck Franklin.
Episode 6.
What is episode 6 called?
To Earth.
Yes, it is. What happens in To Earth?
Layla goes to a meeting on a Federation battleship and runs across Jared, who is put in charge of her and a bunch of other Federation soldiers to go get the Argama. The soldiers have a low opinion of the Titans, who mostly seem like a bunch of out-of-touch Earthnoids, but also being a Titan gives you a higher rank than the military, so all of them are hoping to be made Titans if Jamaica relaxes the entry restrictions for Titans to include the Spacenoids, who suck up to the cops. Jared generally sucks and asks Layla for help, and Layla basically belittles him and says that if he sticks with her, she'll show him the ropes. She also kicks him in the face when he tries to attack her for not sucking up to him. Layla seems pretty cool. She also wears a very dramatic scarf, which doesn't animate how you'd expect a ZRG scarf to animate, but also this is a show made in the 80s, so, you know, it's fine. Don't worry about it. This is a lot that happens at the beginning of this.
The whole scene with Jared and... Is it Layla or Layla?
So I thought it was Layla. The Discord has convinced me that it is Layla, and it probably is Layla.
So does that mean it's Layla Mila Ryra? Mila?
I think it's Layla Mila Ryra.
That's the worst possible one.
Yes, I know.
What is wrong with this show? I'm going to go back to the 80s and give them a Gundam slap. Anyway, that scene's amazing because Jared's commitment to getting owned is far and away beyond any character that we have seen thus far, and that's saying something.
So he's like being pushy, and she's like, look, you need to understand, not every situation you can just go in and bully your way through. Like, people are complicated, you're in a society, like, there's rules and decorum to be met. And he's like, well, it's worked for me in the past. She's like, yeah, look at yourself, it has clearly not worked out for you in the past. And he's like, you have a good point, I'm gonna tell you a secret, I hope to one day run the Titans, so maybe you should help me out, and maybe I'll get there. And then she's like, yeah, I guess, kid. If you don't die, I'll teach you something.
Yeah, well, it's like every line she says feels like it could be an end of conversation mic drop on him.
Yes.
And he keeps going.
Yeah, no, he's ridiculous.
I thought we'd kind of be done with Jared after the first two episodes. I'm surprised that they're like, no, he's a running character. He's one of the main Titans. I'm like, all he wants to do is fight this boy, who is clearly better than him, because he's a new type, and they say he's a new type in this episode.
On the Argama, Rekua volunteers to be sent to Earth on an important mission. Camille's working on a new Gundam design, and Ashtonage looks over the plans for the improved Gundam that uses Arikidea's parts. Camille calls it the Zeta Gundam. Then Ashtonage suggests he's a new type, and Camille gets antsy and leaves. Unfortunately, he sees Rekua and follows after her, being a teen boy who likes ladies. He spots her talking to Quattro and gets the wrong idea, and then goes to Emmachine immediately as the other woman on the ship, and she's generally all little boy get lost until Rekua comes up because she spotted Camille as he drifted away, and Camille falls over himself and leaves, leaving the two women to talk about things. Rekua asks Emma about being a Titan, and then tells her about the Colony 30 incident, where a Side 1 Basque Ohm used chemical weapons on protesters. It's 2018, so it doesn't quite have the dramatic, horrific effect that it probably should, because everyone on the show is very traumatized from it, including Camille, who overhears it from, like, a listening station. But I remember this exact thing happening on Twitter, like, a dozen times in, like, the past 3 years, so I'm kind of numb to the whole thing.
Yes, the idea that anyone would be shocked by this in, like, a society that has been at war for this long is like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah,
are
no.
you telling me the weird fascist threw poison gas on everyone? Huh?
There's a lot of really depressing things that I'm just like, yeah, I guess this is bad.
Yes, it is bad.
But also, this whole scene is Camille like, oh, he takes the thing from, he takes the disc and he's like, oh, I can't believe he'd say a new type. What a horrible thing to say. And then, oh, Rekua, I'm going to follow her. She's pretty. Oh, she's talking to Quattro. Oh, no, I'm going to fly away, but I left my disc. And then Rekua catches the disc and goes after him as he's trying to chat up the other lady who clearly has no time for him because she's getting over being a Nazi.
Gundam's ridiculous.
Yes.
The fact that, unlike Amuro, who could only, like, conceive of the idea of horny as it relates to, like, unattainable redheads and robots, that we're gonna have to fucking sit through actual teen boy horny anime with Camille, and who knows how many boys in the future, because they're always gonna be this age, we're never actually gonna move on.
It's not actually in my notes, because it doesn't matter to the plot, but right as Rekua launches, Camille goes into, like, say, good luck, and then basically gets interrupted by staring at her boobs as, like, that's what she, and she's like, Camille, please get away, I need to launch the ship.
Which is, like, I guess how you would react if a literal child was running around as you're trying to do your job and just start staring at your tits. But
it sucks the most.
Anime has, like, arrived now.
Yes.
I said about how much this episode made me like Amuro. This is what I was thinking of.
Camille, overhearing all about this Colony 30 incident, asks Quattro why such a thing happened as they're getting dressed. Quattro says that people don't trust each other, and that distrust leads to hatred and violence. Camille then asks how someone knows if what they're doing is right, and Quattro replies that if you believe it's right, it must be right. These two things existing together in the same scene are probably why I'll never really be into Char, because yeah, he'd say that, he blew off the head of Cassilia, and I don't think self-righteousness is a good motivation for political action.
I really like the scene because it cements a lot of, like, what my read was on the end of Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, Char being, oh, no one can trust each other, and that's really the problem. And that's why you've got to, like, seek out your own goals. While at the same time, Amuro is, like, saving all of his friends.
Yes.
Like, making, like, that read textual into Char's character makes me, like it a lot.
Yeah, but I feel also, like Camille's like, how do I know what goodness is? And Char's like, oh, just trust your gut, kid, it's fine.
I've always been right, I'm sure.
As if, like, Basque Ohm, like, actually, like, worries that he's doing the right thing or not. No, that dude knows that he's doing the thing he believes is right. Come on.
Yep. Yeah, no. I mean, Camille is a fucking child.
Exactly. I think he should probably set a better example for this child who's asking him what moral rightness looks like.
He doesn't care. Like, I guess he's trying more than, like, the Shah we knew in Gundam.
I think the impression is that he is definitely trying, but this is his answer of trying, and it's really bad.
Yes, no, this is why I feel like, so this centered a lot of my feelings on, like, I get this version of Quattro / Char, whatever, I understand a bit more what they're doing here, and I get why people would be really into this, because it's definitely, like, an improvement on where we saw him in Gundam as, like, this, the, like, haha, I have a secret plan, I am this, like, long-lost prince, but he's still this.
Yeah, no.
He's still going up to children saying, don't care about your parents, because tragedy is actually makes you stronger, and also, it's fine, don't worry about it. Don't think too hard, kid.
Yep. Anyway, Lila needs cover to get to Earth, so everyone scrambles as Quattro and Camille fight Lila and Jared's team. Jared still can't beat Camille, even in a one-armed Gundam. The Titans do manage to fuck up the Argama's sister ship, the Mont Blanc, which explodes in the atmosphere. bunch of fighting happens. Everyone retreats as Requis capsule makes it to the safety of the atmosphere because none of these mobile suits were given the Gundam's heat shield technology for some undetermined reason. Everyone on both sides wonders after Camille's increasingly impressive abilities and whether he might be actually be a new type.
He's a new type.
Yeah, no, he's a new type. Everyone knows he's a new type. He saw the cosmos under his feet in episode one. This boy is the most new type in the entire world.
At least they're not going to stretch this out for literally 38 episodes.
Yes. On Earth, the explosion of the Mont Blanc rains down as shooting stars. On this Earth, outside of a mansion, Amuro Ray watches the space battle and his butler comes out and asks him if he needs tea and to tell him that the power's out. Amuro doesn't need tea. He has stars to watch. We have the Tears of Time. The end.
The part where it just cuts a fucking Amuro. So what it does is it cuts to Amuro and you see, I think the first shot is just Amuro, like a close up on his face.
Yes,
and then it pulls out and then, like, you see his fucking mansion as he's next to the pool.
You see the like lights of the space battle reflected in his sunglasses. Because this is 80s right, Amuro right. Who just dresses like the 80s.
Oh, it's him! He's back! God, I love Amuro. I am so excited for just ridiculous, dumb dad Amuro, who this clearly is.
He is now Batman or something. I don't know what his deal is.
I don't know what he's doing here. I hope it's not another fucking 4 episodes until we see Amuro again.
I hate to tell you, Jackson, it is probably about 4 episodes before we see Amuro again.
Because as much as like Gundam likes to fucking move with stuff, it can also just have someone show up and then never mention them again.
Like, nobody's on Earth except for Requa, and I don't think we'll see her for a while yet either.
Oh, I just want to see what's up with Amuro. I want to see Bright again. Bright disappeared after the first episodes.
I can't believe that they... Like, there's a whole episode of Gundam about how cool it is the Gundam has a heat shield that lets it go into the atmosphere. None of these Gundams have the heat shield that allows them to go in the atmosphere.
You met their designer. He sucks.
Yeah, he sucks. He's dead now.
It's bad.
It's bad. Yeah, no, I know. This episode's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here. You know what? I think I'm coming around on Zeta.
It's fantastic. Like,
yeah.
We'll see how I end up. Like,
I get how when I was like just casually watching an episode every like 2 weeks that I really bounce off the show. But doing this where we're talking about it at length every time, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I wonder how I'm gonna feel like when we're done, because definitely there is no characters, like, I don't like the crew as much as I like the white base crew, but that's because that's not what the show's about in the same way.
Mm.
Everyone is way more conflicted. There's much more stuff going on. And, like, yeah,
it's definitely the Quattro, Camille, like, Requa, Emma Sheen hour.
Yes. And I'm sure, like, a lot of characters will come in and out. At some point, fucking Jamaica has to get so killed.
I mean, his head is like a thumb. That dude needs to die.
But, like, the idea that they've reversed Gundam, so, like, we have a new fake white base that is being, like, chased in the way that the white base was, and we have to have our new, like, Bask has to leave so he can be the main villain, then we have to dispatch our fake
also, the new fake but, white base is being chased by, like, an actual white base but painted black.
Gundam is a show of, like, subtlety.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, so, like, Baskheim leaves because he has to go be, like, alive for the, you know, ending
yes.
of the show.
Yes, while Jamaica gets owned, yes.
While Jamaica is going to have, like, a mini-arc of about 3-4 episodes. And he's going to die so much because not since Makuve have we just had someone who exists to suck this much.
Jamaica doesn't suck in the way Makuve... Like, Makuve is contemptible. Jamaica's just a fucking guy who's going to die.
That's what I mean. Like, he doesn't even suck. He's just nothing. He's just a thing. He's the only notable thing about him is the fact that he looks like a thumb.
Yeah, no, it's really true. God.
And his name's Jamaica. Like, that's it. The two things. He doesn't have, like, a character other than, like, you know, he's in the Titans. He'll tell people what to do and he'll get owned at some point in the next few episodes.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes for Jamaica. Not well. Not gonna end well for him. It's my prediction. No. Hot prediction
same.
Here.
Same.
Yeah, wonder if you remember his fate.
I have no idea. No, not a clue.
Didn't even register. Didn't fucking even register. Fantastic.
We pick up back with stuff I remember when it's on Earth again. So it's going to be a while, I think.
Well, aren't they on Earth now? Like, they're going down
to Earth? No, only Requa is on Earth. They're going to somewhere else.
Oh, right.
Because they keep going. We're going to go to our base. They don't know where the base is. But then the show doesn't tell you, the viewer, where the base is either. So...
Because they're swinging by the moon to like do a defense satellite thing, or the Earth or the Titan think they are, but they're not. I can't really tell. They're holding a lot of things close to their chest right now.
And also, none of it actually matters.
Yes. Also, like, I let a lot of the lore bounce off me. Sorry. I know that's bad, but I focus mostly on the characters when I'm watching, because otherwise I would lose my mind. But yes, that is the Gundam this week, I guess, unless you have any more takes.
No, that was it. There, most of my notes were about the interesting thing about Gundam is it, the show clearly cares a lot about like the maneuvers of battles and fleets and where people are located geographically, but is of a vintage where it doesn't actually nail that stuff down to the point where like I could track it just by watching it. And instead, I like the thing where it's just about people having conversations. Well, we're Star Trek nerds. I like the thing that's about people having conversations that reveal their points of view and philosophies. Like, that's clearly where the bulk of our notes are when we talk about these episodes. And it's really interesting to see that, because Gundam is only that about like 20% of the time. And most of the time it's like these robots are fighting. And I always just write the battle rages. And then that's like 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah, but then we'll spend like 20 minutes discussing the scene where Shaw comes in and goes, "This is my worldview."
Yes.
And then Camille goes, "That doesn't make any sense. This is my worldview."
Camille does not do that. Camille just sweats and puts on his helmet.
Yes, that's the subtext though. Because Camille doesn't know anything about anything. He's just
even
a boy.
Even if Char gave him like a good answer, I think Camille would still sweat and put on his helmet.
He like I said, he's just a young boy. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I like that stuff about the way the battles work, but it is on slightly too big a scale for me to pay attention to. Like, it's not like it's showing me a map and then having a thing happen in like the same episode. It's more like six different monologue intros across the course of the series all drop points of information that you need to remember to understand where things are in relation to each other, so that when something happens, you know what is going on. So and I just give up.
One of the things this show has done, and I feel like it almost has to be intentional, because the sides have basically flipped, and also like mobile suit technology has just kind of like permeated both sides. When battles happen, it's very hard for me to track who is who, and I think that's on purpose.
Yes. I mean, it has to be, because like there's been two battles in this show so far. No, three.
They painted one of the Gundams white so you could identify that's where the hero is. That's where Quattro is. He's in the white Gundam.
Yep. And three battles have revolved around someone being in the ship they're not supposed to be in.
Yes.
And we're six episodes in.
Yes.
So that has to be on purpose. Everything's a mess. Yep. But no, it's no like the one compliment I will give Attack on Titan, which is where it fucking pulls out and shows you a map of the like horses and where they're attacking. Like, that is the coolest shit that happens in that entire show. And Gundam doesn't really give you that. You have to just try to keep it all in your head.
Yep. Yeah, no, I wish there was more pulling out and just explaining for a couple minutes what the geography of space looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's the show is more focused on the day-to-day of Camille, who's a boy who doesn't know anything, so I get why they don't do that, but I would like that for our uses. And I could probably look that up, but I'm sure looking that up, I'm going to get a bunch of spoilers, so I won't do it.
Yes, no, for sure. But like for me, it's like, I was told to watch Gundam because I was the person, you know, who watched Code Geass as a teen and was like, "This is good," and everyone said, "No, it's not. Watch a good one of these shows. You're a child." And the thing that like is missing that I liked about that show that hasn't been in this, maybe it'll be in like Log or something, is that most battle scenes like always have someone on a bridge with a diagram of the battle right there all the time that you can always see, and it's the like my favorite thing about that show and how it does battles.
My thing that I actually like about Gundam is that it doesn't seem to actually care about battles aside from the aesthetic purposes of them.
The battle rages. Multiple battles are just like delivered with some plate shots and monologues in the first show.
Yeah.
A little bit more detailed animation this time. I don't know if that's just technology or a higher budget or both. I assume
probably,
a bit of both.
Probably both, yeah. That'd be my guess. Anyway, that's all I've got. This episode's long for one of these, so I need to have lunch. I'm starving. I have not eaten today.
Go get some food.
I'm gonna. So thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week for more of this. Obviously, I'll probably be less punchy next week because only have one podcast to record, and it's Gundam.
Right, we don't have anything going on next week.
Yeah,
apart from releasing all the podcasts we've recorded.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. See you. Goodbye. Goodbye. See the tears of time. Blah, blah,
Gundamu.
Blah. Gundamu. Well, that's the outro.
から